Good evening, Browns fans, and welcome to the Hugh Jackson Show, brought to you by State Farm. Nathan's girl alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Coach, may I say, you look tremendous tonight.
Well, I wanted to match your wit here.
I like it. Well, here we go. It's a business trip once again, going to Indianapolis this week, but let's start taking a look back at last week. Obviously, a rookie quarterback, you said there are going to be some ups, there are going to be some downs. Last week, some of the downs. What did you take away from that game with DeShone Kizer?
What I took away from it is, like you said, that was the down. You know, hopefully that's the downside for him. We can grow from this, get better from it. Obviously, it's not what we want to do. We turned the ball over and put our team in a disadvantage for this football game. We got to take care of the football better. I think we all know that. The offense, we need to play with a little bit more rhythm, a little bit more execution. But what I took away from it is, still in the midst of all that was going on, we still had a chance to be in this game.
Yeah.
You know, and if we could have made a play down the stretch there, it could have been a little different game, but we didn't. And I think we have to learn from that and know that we're in every game, especially if we don't turn the ball over. And if we can play consistent football, those things can turn into wins for us.
When you watch the interceptions to Duke Johnson and the one that was intended for Rashard Higgins, he made the right reads.
He did make the right reads on those. He's got to throw the ball a little bit more accurately to our guys to give us a chance to have success.
He did make some big-time throws in that game as well. How do you kind of focus on those positives when I'm sure, and you heard him this week, very tough critic on himself?
No, we do. We have to make sure that we give him some sugar too, you know, because I don't think we can make this just all about him. Obviously, it's going to be about him because he's a quarterback. But again, the turnovers, everybody has a piece of that at times, you know, and I think we all get that. But again, he's the one that's throwing the ball. He's got to put the ball on the people at the right time, in the right spot, in the right spaces, and I think he'll do that.
Has anybody had a crazier 2 weeks than Rashard Higgins? Cut, brought back on the practice squad, active, leading receiver week two against the Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely, but that just goes to show you the life in the National Football League. You know, 1 minute you can be out, the next minute you're right back in. You know, you just got to keep seizing your opportunity when they present themselves. And that's what he's done. He did a great job this past week.
Does that, having him back, help you get Duke back into the backfield and kind of be able to be more of a Swiss Army knife rather than just a straight receiver?
Absolutely. And that's why I kind of made that choice along with our executive team. I said, hey, look, we're probably not getting the production out of Duke that we need. We need to have him touch the ball a little bit more. And so in order to do that, we needed somebody to play in a slot. And who better than Rashard Higgins to do that?
So coming out of a game like that, what do you say to the team? How do you challenge them to get better but also let them know that, hey, we have another opportunity coming up?
Well, absolutely. We think we played two of the better teams in our division. You know, that was our schedule. That's who we opened with. We opened with Pittsburgh. We opened with Baltimore. And those are two of the tougher opponents. Not saying that the game this week won't be tough. We get it. But we're playing who we think are the best teams in our division. And we felt like when we left the game that we could play with them. We didn't feel like that all of a sudden this team just kind of walked all over us. We felt like there are some things, if we did them better, maybe it could have been a different game. So that's the positive out of it. The negative is we didn't do it.
Right.
So what we have to do is go back to the drawing board, continue to work hard as a staff, as a football team, grow and get better. So the next opportunity being this Sunday, we got to go out and seize this opportunity.
Well, you talked about having to execute when it matters. David Njoku and Kevin Hogan certainly did that. Let's take a look at that in our Papa John's play breakdown.
Play action. Hogan with pressure coming. Steps up. Fires into the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. David Njoku.
All right, Coach, let's take a look at it now. Start with the formation. Two tight ends, two backs. What were you trying to dictate to the Ravens here?
Well, what I was trying to do is put them in a coverage that I think we'd have a chance to run a double move to David Njoku on the backside. We normally get in this formation and run the ball pretty exclusively. So we came up with a plan to make sure we can take advantage of a big 6'5" guy on the backside of coverage who might get a mismatch on a smaller safety.
All right, so as we run it through here, it starts with play action, as you talked about it being a running formation. And now as you drop back, top of the drop here, what do you see if you're what did you want Kevin Hogan to be looking at here?
Well, what Kevin was looking at is exactly where that backside safety was and how he was playing on David. So David has what we call a double move. He either is going to lean outside and go vertical, or he can lean outside and cut across the safety's face. So
okay.
He has to make a decision here very quickly on what to do.
And so the read is cover two kind of on that side?
Absolutely.
And then you want to find that dead spot between the corner and the safety?
Absolutely. And to me, Kevin threw the ball in the only place you could throw it.
You know, it was a heck of a ball.
We did a great job on the corner. As you see up top, David nods the corner out, and then he turns. And I think where David was, he's saying, okay, if I go back across the safety space, probably going to make it a little tough for the quarterback. If I stay vertical, it's going to end up being a big on little throw because, again, the safety's a smaller guy. Put the ball up in the highlands. Give me a chance to make a play, and that's what he was able to do.
And if you back it up 1 second here, you see that there's one misstep by the safety, and when you talk about a game of inches in the NFL, boom, right there, that's the difference between a touchdown and maybe an interception or a breakup.
Absolutely. And, again, I give a lot of credit to our offensive line, first and foremost. They gave Kevin a chance to get back there, set his feet, push up in the pocket, gave David a chance to get down, make a double move, and get to a corner spot in the end zone where only Kevin could put the ball, and he comes up with a tremendous play.
And then you saw at the end of this, look at the hops right here. I don't know if we're going to get the spike in here. There it is. What did you think of the Chief spike right there?
I loved it. The Chief is back. Once he scored a touchdown, we are now unveiling the Chief.
Yeah, our leading receiver right now, a tight end, Seth DeValve. And then you've got David Njoku with the touchdown here. You look from the end zone. What a throw here. Only place could be. Great catch from your big athlete.
Absolutely.
And that's 6 points for the Browns. All right, Coach, we'll be back with more of the Hugh Jackson Show right after this. Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, Matt Wilhelm talks with veteran quarterback Jason McCourty about his first interception as a Brown.
I really didn't expect Flacco to throw the ball because I was back there. Jabril was rolling over from his half of the field, so happy to get the ball back to the offense.
Back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan's girl alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And Coach, it's a young team, but there are still some veterans here. One of them playing very well is Jason McCourty. What a nice surprise that's been, I'm sure.
No, he is. He's done a good job of taking up the slack, not only on our football team, but also in the locker room with some of our young players. He's been a really good mentor. He's doing an outstanding job.
And we'll go ahead and hear from Jason McCourty in this week's Play Breakdown.
Hey, it's Matt Wilhelm here with Browns starting quarterback Jason McCourty. And Jason, just talk a little bit about what it's like for this young team and the learning that can come from going on the road against a very good opponent.
It's difficult, disappointing. I think whenever you come up short on a Sunday, not anything to be excited about. So just trying to learn from our mistakes. Like you said, a young team, and we didn't play well. So just trying to come in on a Monday and watch the film, get to correct our mistakes, take the good from the film as well, the plays that we made, the things that we did right, try to build off of that, and then just try to fix our weaknesses.
And something that we're going to do is we're going to review your interception. So it's first and 10, Flacco 7 of 8 for 55 yards. The Ravens are kind of having their way. They take the shot down the field. Just walk me through the play. Walk me through what you saw.
It was after an earned first down right around midfield, so thinking that they might be taking a shot. And to be honest, Greg had a perfect call for the play they were running, dialed up. I was just rolling to a half, so just staying deep, knowing that I had underneath coverage. And he ran kind of a deep post corner and really didn't expect Flacco to throw the ball because I was back there. Jabril was rolling over from his half of the field, so we kind of had a double cover, but I just think he wanted to take a shot and hung the ball up in the air, was able to turn probably six times before being able to haul it in. So just happy to be able to create an opportunity. Would have been nice to be able to catch it and stay on my feet and be able to get some return yards, but happy to get the ball back to the
offense. He went corner post, up the field, post, hey, corner, hey. If he's coming to the post,
Is that something that stems from Greg Williams and the emphasis that he puts on taking the football away? Because it seemed to be what it was throughout training camp of the offseason. You've been with him other places, and that seems to reign supreme wherever Greg Williams goes.
Without a doubt, that's his biggest thing, is taking the ball away. You can make up for so many different things, but you can take the ball away, and his next biggest thing is scoring. We haven't been able to do that as a defense, and we appreciate that. We want to be able to not only take the ball away, but get it up the field and score, create field position for our offense. So those are things that we have to continue to work on, continue to improve. I guess that's the fun in this league. No matter who you play each and every week, it's going to be a tough challenge. The first week of offense like Pittsburgh's, being able to run the ball with Le'Veon Bell and having weapons like Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown, and a quarterback who's an MVP. And then you go on to the next week and it's like, all right, now you got Joe Flacco, Jeremy Maclin, right. Mike Wallace. So now this week we got T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief. And so it's just that's the way the NFL is. Each week a different offense and different weapons. Falcons to go up against.
Well, Jason, stay healthy and good luck against the Colts.
Oh, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Coach J Mack had been with Greg Williams before. They talk about that mentality. We have to take the football away. He did that twice for you. How good was that to see?
That was outstanding. We do. We have to take the ball away. And Greg preaches it every day with the defensive staff. We have to get our hands on even more balls. And obviously on the offensive side of the ball, we got to take care of the ball. And that's the key to us winning games. I truly believe that. Our team truly believes that. And that's what we have to do.
What was the first thing you thought when you saw Trevon Coley pick that ball up and then start running around like he was LeSean McCoy with it out there like a loaf of bread?
No gap. Make sure it's our ball so the offense can get on the field and get going.
It was one of those yes, 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 no, yes, yes. Okay, good. All right, we'll be back with more of the Hugh Jackson Show right after this. Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, Dustin Fox sits down with last week's leading receiver, Rashard Higgins, in the Universal Windows Player Spotlight.
Coaches told us going in, players make plays, and I felt like it was my turn to step up and make plays.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan Zgura, alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And Coach, earlier we talked about Rashard Higgins' kind of wild 2 weeks. Were you surprised that he could come in and be that productive as he was against the Ravens?
I wasn't, because Rashard has been with us, you know, ever since he was drafted. Played here last year, was in OTAs with us, in training camp with us, and he was only gone for a few days and back right on the practice field with us. So I'm not surprised by anything he does.
No, and he certainly has the gift of gab in addition to the gift of catching the football. And we'll hear from him next in the Universal Windows Player Spotlight.
Dustin Fox here with Browns wide receiver Rashard Higgins. Rashard, career day for you against the Baltimore Ravens. 7 catches, over 90 yards. That's more catches than you had all of last season. How'd you do it?
I felt like I was put in a place where I could get the ball a lot. Coaches told us going in, players make plays, and I felt like it was my turn to step up and make plays.
So last week you were on the practice squad for the majority of the week until Saturday when you were activated. But you talked about after the game how you sort of felt like you were going to be involved in the game plan. What was that like throughout the practices during the week?
It was hard. I remember when I had got cut, and I told myself, man, I'm going to keep working no matter what to get back on the 53-man roster. And I just kept working. I put my head down and just kept moving forward. And I didn't let that deteriorate from what I wanted to do. So I just kept working, and everything just fell into place. Coaches called me up on Saturday morning, actually, mm-hmm. and they told me to come up and sign papers to travel and that I'm back on the squad.
When you were cut by the Browns after training camp, how humbling was that?
It was a feeling that I wouldn't want nobody to go through. Mm-hmm. I grinded so hard and with all my teammates, and it was just like all that went down the drain. And for me to feel not wanted, I just can't describe that feeling. When they put me on P Squad, yeah. I knew I had some value and that I still had work to do. And I didn't let that go down the drain. I just kept moving forward. I remember Andrew Hawkins. He told me the only thing you can control is your effort. I try to let that be the biggest thing that keeps me moving forward. And if I can put my effort and put my best foot forward, then that's what I'm going to do.
When you have the nickname Hollywood, does that add pressure that you got to go out there and make plays and live up to that nickname?
It just shows that you got to be Hollywood, man. I really can't do it. You make plays. You make big plays. You do all that. And that's where Hollywood comes from.
Now, the receiving core is a little bit thin because Corey Coleman has an injured hand. How do you feel like your role will change? Do you feel like you need to step up even more?
I feel like, for me, I'm going to have to keep staying consistent. I just show what I can do, and maybe we can show a little bit more.
All right, Colts coming up here this week. What's it going to take to get that first win?
It's going to take everybody to do their job. Point blank period, man. We got to do our job and get the job done.
How do you specifically repeat from your big game against the Ravens?
Going out and doing what I can do. When the ball come my way, just make the play.
Live up to that Hollywood name.
That's it.
Rashard, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
Coach, with a young team like this and a guy like Rashard Higgins, sometimes adversity can help. And he went out last week and had more yards and more catches than he had in his entire NFL career prior to that point. What does he have to do to take that next step and be an every week weapon for you?
I just think be consistent. You know, he showed his worth last week. Again, he'll be a huge part of what we do as we move forward.
And speaking of moving forward, we're going to move forward with the Hugh Jackson Show, and we're going to preview the Indianapolis Colts next. Finally, on the Hugh Jackson Show, we look ahead to the Indianapolis Colts and give you the keys to victory. Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Time now for the Northeast Ohio BMW Centers game preview. Coach, we go to Indianapolis. Two desperate teams, two teams at 0-2. When you look at this Colts offense, what stands out to you about it?
That they're still a tough group. You know, there's Frank Gore you have to deal with. There's T.Y. Hilton you have to deal with. Doyle you have to deal with. They're a good football team, regardless of what the record is. I know it's early in the season. I know they have two losses, but I think this is still a really good football team.
When you talk about T.Y. Hilton, the guy that can get vertical, one thing the Browns have done very well is stop the vertical pass. Mm-hmm. I expect that plan to continue in Indianapolis. Is that a priority number one on this defense?
No, it is. We always want to go into the game, number one, stop the run and make sure the ball doesn't go over our head. And if we can accomplish those two things while taking the ball away, then we think we're playing really good defense. And our defense have done some good things thus far.
They certainly have, especially given the situations that have surrounded some of these games. Mm-hmm. Now, you went against Super Bowl winning quarterback week one, Super Bowl winning quarterback week two, now a guy who really hasn't played much in the NFL. How does that change your approach as a team and as a defense?
It doesn't. We got to be who we are each and every week on defense. You know, our goals are still our goals. And I think I speak for Coach Williams on this. We want to be even better than what we've been in the first 2 weeks.
So you talked about Frank Gore earlier. How does he keep doing it? Seems like every week we're running into an ageless wonder. Frank Gore, one of the more impressive stories in the NFL with what he's done. How does he keep doing it this age?
These guys have done a great job of taking care of their bodies. I think the new rules of the CBA has helped these players. You know, obviously, you know, the way you train in the offseason, the way you practice in training camp, and the way practices are structured now, guys know that they can play a little bit longer.
Coach, we don't know about Jamie Collins yet for this game. James Burgess is a guy who stepped in. He has a sack. He's got a couple of pass breakups. What have you seen from that young man, and how can he be a force for you against the Colts?
He's done a really good job. You know, James has come in and learned our system, worked extremely hard. He's taken the coaching. He's made some huge plays for our football team thus far. Again, if he has to step up and play, as you know, our mentality, next man up, he'll go in there and do a good job.
You talked about priority number one being to stop the run offensively. I know it is run the football. Isaiah Crowell's averaging 10 first-half carries a game so far this season. But you got to be in the lead to keep that going in the
Absolutely.
Second half. How important is it to establish that in this game?
I think it's very important. I think it's been really important throughout our season. But I think where we've been with our offensive line, getting to know each other, playing together, is taking a little more time than what I've liked and maybe what everybody's liked. But I think we're heading in the right direction, and I look forward to our guys starting to really make the run game go.
When you talk about gelling, what does that mean from your standpoint? What do you see when you know they are gelling?
I see those guys working together. It's them starting to work as a unit instead of working as individuals. That when the calls are made, you can see it echoing down the line, and then you start to see the pad level get lower. You start to see the knuckles down in the grass a little bit harder, and you see guys come off the ball together. That's when you know you're starting to get in sync.
Yeah, we start to see some nice second-level blocks too. Yes. Joel Bitonio on that draw to Duke Johnson almost took that linebacker Absolutely. Back in the end zone. I know that you had to like that. Hopefully we'll see more of that this weekend against the Colts. Coach, good luck, and looking forward to seeing what the Browns can do in Indy.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for being with us, and thank you all for watching the Hugh Jackson Show. Don't forget, Browns Countdown, 11 a.m. on News 5, the only place to get your pregame started with the Browns. Thanks for watching the Hugh Jackson Show, and good night, everybody.